Is this on? Oh, okay, good. You can hear me all right? I love this photo. This is why we're all here, right? The cross and what Christ did for us. God is so good. God is good. All the time. Amen. Thank you for having me here this morning to share my story. Man, we've been through a couple weeks. This last couple weeks have been crazy, haven't they? I'm from Oregon, so I'm an Oregon boy. We don't get tropical storms like you guys get down here. Thinking back on that, I feel a little shook. But God was with us all, wasn't he? I remember hearing the tornado go by the house, and I was like, well, first time for that, I guess. So crazy. But I'm going to say one more prayer before I get started. Hi, Father, I just praise you for this opportunity to share a story of you and what you've done, and I pray that they would see you and not me, that your words would flow through me, and that you would show up here this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name and your will. Amen. So I grew up like most young Adventist children. Grew up in a family of five, two sisters and me, and we were traditionally, you know, conservatively pretty good Adventists. I think we had our evening and morning worships together as a family, had our dinners together. But there's one thing that was a little bit different about me, and that was when I was a little kid. And there's some maybe that could relate to this, but at about 4 years old, I developed a habit of saying, you know, why? You know, I'm sure we all know kids that like to ask why. And at about four, there was a morning worship I had with my mom, and, you know, she would after worship, she would ask us all, so do you guys all love Jesus? And this particular day, I remember responding, I don't know who Jesus is. How can I say I love someone that I don't know personally? And so that was the start of something very powerful in my life. A realization that I needed to know that person before I could confirm my love and devotion. So this kind of followed throughout my life until about 8 years old. I think Einstein probably inspired me a little bit because he always said that brilliance comes from asking the hard questions in life. And I think that's what inspired him too. But at about 8 years old, I decided I'm going to put this faith that I keep hearing about in my family, my parents, I'm going to put it to the test. I want to see who God is, what this love is, what this faith is all about. So I determined at 8 years old, I was going to observe and I was going to read what I could at that age, the Bible mostly, and observing friends and family, what this God was all about. And I started to see things. I could see things in my parents' lives. When they prayed, things would happen. There was times in our lives, and I think most of our lives, where we struggle to make ends meet, right? Where we're wondering where the next meal may come from, some of us. Some of us may wonder where the next paycheck may come from. But there's those moments in life where we stop and we're a little bit on that desperate side of life where we're needing something. And so I remember seeing some people doing in these moments, and they would pray, and I would see results. And that was the development of my faith in God. So it's largely due to those people in my life, and I think we've all benefited from godly people in our lives, amen? That's the power of being part of a church family. So at about 10, this grew to when I was, this mentality grew to about when I was 10 years old, I decided, I'm going to give my heart to this God that I've been learning about, and so I got baptized at about 10 years old, and at my home church that's been my church for the last 20 years in Oregon, and to a pastor that was my mentor for a bit in my life, I was thinking possibly going into ministry, and but I just didn't want to go that route, ended up going a different route. But I'll talk about that later a little bit more. But so this grew until I was, then after my baptism, you know, we all know that once you make a stand for Christ, Satan likes to get on your back, right? So then at this point, I started to see things happening in my life that were giving me some trials. I fell into the typical issues with, as a young person, teen years, you know, addicted to video games, gluttony, and, you know, fornication, and all that stuff. And, but through these things, because of my devotion to seek what truth was at that young age, and the time I spent in God's Word and studying, helped me through those moments in life. I remember there was times I was like, man, I don't know where to turn for a solution, and I would open the Bible, and the solution would be there, and I would find that, and it would set me free from some of those addictions. And so that became my foundation for the rest of my life. At about 16 years old or so, I was reading through some Spirit of Prophecy, and I came across a quote that said, we should take every advantage to continue our faith, learning what truth is from God's Word, and be continually putting our efforts in that direction to learn about who God is. And so, and seeking out education in that area. And so I had heard about Bible colleges, and so I determined I was going to go to one of these one day. And so I started praying. About 2 years later, there was a Mission College of Evangelism in North Dakota that decided to move their whole school to Oregon, near just an hour away from my hometown. And I was like, okay, this is an answer to that prayer. And so I determined I was going to find some financial means to go to this school. So I ended up going to a community college, and I ended up having leftover funds that I could then apply to this Bible college. And so I was able to make it to this Bible college, and I studied there. Most of my schooling was scripture memorization, but also evangelism. And so I was able to specifically learn how to share my faith, and I think that was something that was very powerful. Because it's one thing to know about the Bible and what it says, but how to share that in a tactful way is super important. So that's what that gave me at that point in my life. And after probably, it was actually kind of towards the end of my Mission College experience, when I was getting ready to graduate, I got sick. And, you know, I was sniffly, sore throat, and so I was doing homeopathic-type methods to cure this cold. And then it developed into something. I was like, I started seeing rashes. And I was noticing this is not just a common cold I was dealing with. And so I was like, my lymph nodes started to swell, and so I was like, okay, I need to go to the doctor. So I headed out to the doctor, and they were like, oh, it's probably just a bacterial infection. So they started giving me medication for antibacterial type medication for that, and I did that for about 3 months or so, but it wasn't going away. So then I was like, hey, well, you know, I went to my doctor, I was like, this isn't working, so, you know, what are we going to do now? And I started to see a little bit of weight loss happening, too, at the same time. And so I went to a different doctor because I was like, I probably need to get a lymph node biopsy. And my initial doctor didn't want to do that for whatever reason. And so this other doctor was like, okay, yeah, we'll get you on some different antibacterial, but we're also going to refer you out for a lymph node biopsy. So at that point, that's what we did. And I was able to go to OHSU for a lymph node biopsy. And it was there that I got a diagnosis that changed my life. But before I mention that, There was a moment in time in my life where that God gave me a sign. And my parents, you know, we like to travel, and so we like to pray before we go on any kind of big trip, almost any trip, actually. And this trip in particular, I remember, was with a truck and a fifth wheel. And if you know anything about a fifth wheel, you can actually ride in the back of that fifth wheel on trips, just because it's considered part of the main vehicle. So I was thinking, man, I might ride in the back, you know, be able to sleep, be able to just enjoy my trip, or I could go in the truck. And so I remember thinking, I'll go in the truck. So I went in the truck with my parents, and we took off. And probably a quarter way through the trip, a car comes out, swerves in front of us, blocks my dad, and he has to swerve, and the trailer fishtails, starts on fire, and we lose the truck and trailer. The big thing about this whole thing is I could have been in that trailer. And when I, probably an hour after that moment, something hit me. I was like, if God can spare my life in a car wreck, he can spare my life in any kind of disease or whatever it might be that I'm dealing with. And so at that moment, I felt peace, even though I knew that my diagnosis was probably going to be cancer. And so when we went to that doctor and at OHSU, and they said, yep, it's cancer, you have classical non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And they say it hits people your age and your ethnicity, and that's 99% of the people that get it. But there was an alternative thing to that, and they said, this is 80% curable. So that was a blessing. But even so, that message through that car wreck that God gave me was paramount to how I responded to that. And then the foundation that I had with scripture and stuff before that as well. So I encourage all of you, don't wait to get to know your God. We never know when our time will be. So after about 6 months of treatment at OHSU, I then decided, you know, I want to go to college, so continue my education. So I went off and decided to do engineering and continued that for a few years and then graduated, and God blessed me with Scott and a job and the ability to continue my career. God has led throughout that whole experience of my life. I've seen God at every moment answer the prayers. I remember praying for a job before I graduated, and I was talking with Aunt Raylene, and she was like, oh yeah, I think I might know someone. And so God blessed that. But God is always there, isn't he? He is faithful. So there's four things that I want to focus on today. Four wise things that came to me through this experience with cancer. The first one is, let go of your worries and in your anxieties. And this is one of the big ones. This is one that we all, no matter how old you are, no matter how many years you've had with God, it is hard to let those anxieties and those worries go, isn't it? But this is what is the true test of faith. Every time we go through these trials, we get to exercise that faith to overcome. Let's turn to a text. But before I mention that, you know, as an engineer, and I'm sure you guys know this too, as, you know, at least from my perspective, Texans, you know, we have a very independent mentality, right? You guys are known as the Lone Star State. That's like the most independent motto I think I've ever heard in a state. But, you know, engineers are also very independent. We know we have the answers. We can problem solve. So we have this, we all are kind of raised in this society to have the solution. We're taught to know the answers. Especially as Christians, we're supposed to know about God. We're supposed to be able to tell people who God is when we meet them. But the truth is, do we? Do we really know who God is? Can we ever really know who God is fully? We can get glimpses, right? God's word is given to us for that reason. But we will never know that fully. And it is only, the knowledge that we do have is only from God. Only by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Matthew 11. You can see the verse on the screen. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." This world likes to give us lots of heavy burdens, right? Work, family. But if we remember this verse, that God is there to take that, convert that into a burden, that he'll be in that yoke with us. He'll take that burden on him, and all we have to do is just work alongside him. You know, every good farmer knows this kind of parable, this story, because when you hitch two animals side by side, you don't put two new animals side by side. You put one mature, very well-educated horse or ox to train that new horse or ox to pull that plow or that carriage. And this is exactly what God is giving us here in Matthew. To work with him, let him train you how to pull that weight in your life. Amen? He's not saying that he's going to take that burden 100% from you, right? In verse 30, he says, you're going to have a little bit of a burden there, but it's going to give you strength, and I'm going to make it a very easy one for you to bear. All we have to do is just accept God's power, right? And grace to do those things. It's not by our strength. Let's look again at another one. Because once we give our burdens to God, the next stage, once we've accepted that yoke, is to now leave it in God's hands to take that burden. So let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So again, we are not given this ability to hold on to our anxieties and these things. That we're not made to hold those things. We are made to give those things to God. We were made to have love and to have self-discipline and power that comes from God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, verse 32. This is a good one for any macho men out there that think we have to overcome everything ourselves. It says, better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. There's so many good applications for that. Military, police officers, all this. We can all learn from this, can't we? We can all learn to be humble and let God direct us before we make a decision. Let's use self-control when it comes to our anxieties and use our mental power to keep it in God's hands. Amen? So number two, the next thing I want to share with you is to work towards those goals in your life now. If you have a goal in your life, don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for the next week. Don't wait for the right opportunity. Don't wait for the right budget. Don't wait. If you want to do something for God, start that now. What do you think is the best way to start that? Prayer. Exactly. And that is the start for everything, amen? For a Christian, at least that should be. And then look for those open doors. Watch for how God answers those prayers. Because we are like the withering grass, amen? The Bible says, Psalms 103:15. The next piece of wisdom that I'd like to share with you guys is that trials, even though they look fearful, they are not fun. They are there to strengthen us. Let's go look at James. James. James 1, 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing. So that is why those trials are given to us. And sometimes, you know, like Job, we have those trials that are given to us to show the world, the sinful, satanic realms around us, that even though God gives us trials, there's a reason for them and to show how powerful God is. What if we had never gone through some of those things? Would we really experience the power of God in to its fullest, possibly? No, I mean, we could, sadly, we have to experience some of these things to grow with God. And that's, I know that shouldn't be that way, because we know in the Garden of Eden there's a different way. But we have taken that burden of sin upon ourselves, so that is part of our lives. Let's look at Job chapter 13, verse 15. Job was such a good encouragement to me through my trials in life, and I just love the stuff he had to say about his experiences. Job 13:15. God might kill me, but I have no other hope. I am going to argue my case with him. And now other translations say that though God slay me, I will trust him. So whether or not God may bring us, give us trials to test our faith, we can have surety that he'll be there the whole way through. And we should still trust him, hold on to him through those. There's a quote I'd like to share with you guys this morning from the Spirit of Prophecy. I don't know if you can read that very well, but I'll read it for you. It says, "Those who closely connect with God may not be prosperous in the things of this life. They may often be sorely tried and afflicted. Joseph was maligned and persecuted because he preserved his virtue and integrity. David, the chosen messenger of God, was hunted like a beast of prey by his wicked enemies. Daniel was cast into a lion's den because he was true and unyielding in his allegiance to God. Job was deprived of his worldly possessions and so afflicted in body that he was abhorred by his relatives and friends, yet he preserved his integrity and his faith to God. These examples of human steadfastness in the might of divine power are a witness to the world of the faithfulness of God's promises, of his abiding presence and sustaining grace. As the world looks upon these humble men, it cannot discern their moral value with God." To a world that we live in, some of this stuff doesn't make any sense, right? You're like, why would we need to be humble? Why would we need to do that? But that is the whole secret of the love of God and is the acceptance of someone else to take that, to give it to someone else. You know, we're always taught to keep it in. We just need to abide in the promises of God. It is the work of faith to calmly repose in God in the darkest hour. However severely tried and tempest-tossed, to feel that our Father is at the helm, the eye of faith alone can look beyond the things time and sense to estimate the worth of eternal riches. And I have one more to share with you. I love this one as well. It says, "In this life we must meet fiery trials and make costly sacrifices. But the peace of Christ is the reward. There has been so little self-denial, so little suffering for Christ's sake, that the cross is almost entirely forgotten. We must be partakers with Christ in his sufferings. If we would sit down in triumph with him on his throne, so long as we choose the easy path of self-indulgence and are frightened at self-denial, our faith will never become firm. And we cannot know the peace of Jesus, nor the joy that comes through conscious victory. The most exalted of the redeemed host that stand before the throne of God and the Lamb, clad in white, know the conflict of overcoming, for they have come up through great tribulation. Those who have yielded to circumstances rather than engage in this conflict will not know how to stand in that day when anguish will come upon every soul. When, though Noah, Job, and Daniel were in the land, they could save neither son nor daughter, for everyone must deliver his own soul to righteousness. I remember, going through all those things, and God prepared me for my experiences. He gives us the opportunity to get that training through prayer and Bible study. Let's not wait. Let's not wait to get that training from God, to let God change us, to let that love fill us, fill our hearts and minds. We need that before we face any of these trials of life, before the end may come or whatever it might be in our lives, trials that come. Let's grow that life with God now. And I'd like to look at One more verse. This is a powerful one, and I think this is probably one of the more important ones of all. First John 4, 16 through 19. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world, not because of our own selves or because of how much we know or how much we have been taught, but by how much we have loved, how much we have loved God specifically. If we put that time in with God and we love him, he will change us. We will be perfected. That's the whole transformation process. That is that little burden that we need to bear, is to let that love change us. That's the only burden we have to bear. But that is so hard, isn't it? Just let that love work. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. So that is the end, and I just want to encourage you guys to learn what that love is, to study God's word, and discover that for yourselves.